for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, November the 24th, 1983. Thanksgiving weekend, deliverance and teaching seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the speaker of the evening. We need to understand the kingdom. We don't understand the kingdom. Nobody understands the kingdom. We're beginning to have little glimpses of it. And we need to spread to the body that which we see, that which we do have an understanding of, so that the Lord can give us an understanding of yet more of the kingdom. This is the hour of the revelation of the kingdom. It's the transition time from the age of grace to the age of the kingdom. Just as Jesus was a transition from the time of law to grace, we are now in the time of the transition of grace to the kingdom. And we don't understand it. They didn't understand it in Jesus' day, and we don't understand it today. But we see it. Thank God we see it, because in Jesus' day they didn't even see it. The Lord has been gracious and has begun to give to us a little insight so that we do see the hour. We need to open our spirits to receive so that we can walk in the way of the glory of the Lord, the path of the glory that's bringing in the kingdom and bringing in the King, who is Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise His holy name. Then lunch will be served tomorrow whenever the morning service is over. If it doesn't get over, why, we'll have lunch for supper. Food is not as important as the glory and presence of the word of the Lord. Amen. We need to learn that and to practice it so that the things of God are more important to us than the things of earth. And when we really come to that place, we'll really begin to see an outpouring and move of the manifestation of the power of God in our midst. So that when we say, "Thus saith the Lord," or "In the name of Jesus," or "Rise and walk," it will be just as we say, because we'll have what we say, but we'll only have it as we yield to the Spirit of the Lord to flow through us and do it in humility before the Lord and not before men. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll have lunch whenever the time for it is. Then tomorrow afternoon at 2:30, we'll have service again. And when that's over, if it doesn't last till 7 o'clock or around there, well, we'll start evening service again with praise and worship, just as we have had this wonderful praise and worship here this evening. Praise the Lord, because that's why we come, really. We come with our needs, but we should come, first of all, to praise and to magnify and to glorify Jesus and to honor Him as King of kings and Lord of lords, and to make Him Lord of our lives, such as we have never made Him before. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you to help us with the finances for the meetings and also for the campground. We appreciate your financial support. We appreciate the many of you here who support this place from month to month and even from week to week. We appreciate and bless you and bless those of you who are here for the first time tonight and who will yet be here this week for the first time to Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. And we believe that the Lord will bless you, that you'll receive something that will help you spiritually and physically as well. And then as you serve and praise and worship the Lord will take care of us in our physical needs as we do unto Him in our blessing and our praise and our worship. But we don't do that. And if you do it to receive financial benefit, you're doing it with the wrong motive. And that motive will not be a blessing to you, but it could turn out to be a curse. So we need to put things in order, rightly divide the word, and come rejoicing before the Lord, and then do in our financial giving as the Lord lays on your heart and as He blesses you. And do it here, we do it willingly, because the Lord has blessed you and because you feel that you are supporting and helping the work here. We appreciate it. If you write a check, make it to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And if you give cash, and we'd like a receipt for it. Tell the girls at the book table, and they, after the meetings are over, when they take care of the offerings, well, they will send you a receipt for your cash to be used for your tax returns. We appreciate the fact that we can still use them for our tax returns, and as long as they can be used, why, we're glad to supply you with a receipt. So don't be bashful to ask for it if you would like to have one. If you give a check, you'll automatically get one after you get back home. Praise the Lord. I like to pray for the offering after we get it back in our hands. I like to take authority over it and to bless it. And so I'll just ask the boys to go ahead and pass the offering, and then we'll pray for it afterwards.
Father, I thank you for the privilege that I have this evening before you on behalf of these people
and bring this offering and present it unto Jesus, our high priest. And I thank you for that privilege that's given unto me, and I praise you for it. Now, as I present it unto you, Jesus, to be given as an offering on the altar before the Father, to be received as a sweet savor, I thank you for receiving it from your people, and I thank you for accepting it. Now, as it comes back and I become the steward over it, I take authority over it and I bind it to the kingdom of the living God. And I bind it for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that whoever's hands this finances goes through, from now, as long as finances as this is used, it shall be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And only the necessities of life, to whosoever's hands it's through, I bind it to that cause, for the kingdom's sake. Father, I thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and use as we disperse it and as we use it. May we be wise with it. May we have wisdom and judgment with it, and I thank you for it. Now, Father, I thank you for your anointing at rest over this place this night. I thank you for the joy and the glory of the Lord that is amongst us. Father, I thank you for your care and protection over those who are yet traveling to come. I thank you, Lord, for the angel of the Lord to be with them. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing over Brother Smith as he ministers to us this evening. And then, Father, as we have gathered together here tonight, I lift up our nation, Lord, and our president, and those in authority over us. Father, I thank you for wisdom and guidance and direction for our president, for those in authority over us, for his cabinet, Lord, for the judicial branch, for the Senate and the Congress, Lord, and Father, for the armed forces. Lord, I thank you for wisdom for those who call on the name of the Lord. And those who do not, Lord, I ask that you just stir their hearts and their lives. Show them that they need to bend their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And your word says, Father, that you put men up and you put men down. Now, Father, I ask that you put men up full of the Holy Ghost in places of authority in this nation, that this nation shall know that God rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of men because of men that stand forth and declare that Jesus is Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I bind the powers of Antichrist over this nation. I bind the principalities and powers of Satan that are arrayed to destroy this nation. But by the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus, it shall not be so, for this nation shall stand forth to magnify and glorify Jesus in mighty power and in an authority of his name. As the mighty power of the living God is sweeping and does sweep through this land to bring repentance. And Father, I thank you that your judgments are in the land, and the judgments of God must come and will come against those who defy the name of the living God. Father, I thank you for your judgments. And I praise you for it, Father. For you must deal with homosexuality and lesbianism and the filth and all that, and the witchcraft and the sorcery that is rampant in this nation. Father, I thank you for your judgment in those areas that are rebellious against the word of the Lord. And then on the other hand, Father, I praise you for the glory of the Lord that rests upon your people, and the glory of the Lord that is shining forth unto them and through them for your name's sake, as we praise and magnify thee. And I praise you for it tonight, and I bless you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hold thou this house for the Lord. Thou hast not gathered together by the commandment of man. And yea, thou hast not been brought here by the commandment of man. But yea, thou hast been brought by my spirit. Yea, even before that thou wast even born, yea, I did out this day in mine. But yea, thou hast come for my purpose, and yea, thou wast arise. And yea, thou must listen and take heed unto the voice of thy God. Because you see, thou art living in a day of transition. Thou art living in an hour when thou wast moved from one glory to another glory. But yea, know thou this, that the time is come when all lepers clergy must be removed, and yet all sleepiness must be removed, and yet the tongue would not escape, but yet I would be very diligent. So arise, arise, my people, because thou hast been gathered together by my Spirit, and not the appointment of man. And so this is thy day, that thou would even go forth without the count, and yet even bring forth deliverance and restoration unto mankind. So arise, arise, my people, this day.
From glory to glory, he's changing me and you. Amen. Talk about being raptured. The presence of the Lord is a rapture into his presence. Amen. Amen. And we need to look for that lots more than you need to look for a rapture to carry you away someplace away from this earth. We're looking for the presence of the Lord in our midst. Amen. The Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost to fill the temple. And we are that temple. And this building is a temple of the Lord simply because we are here. Hallelujah. And I appreciate the presence of the Lord that is in our midst this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I expect the days to come, and not far off, when we won't literally be able to sit or stand in the presence of the Lord, when the glory of the Lord fills the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I rejoice in looking forward to that time and that day, and it's at hand, when the very power and presence of God is so great that you'll not be able to sit in your seat if you want to. You'll not be able to. I expect that. I'm looking for it. I believe it to be. Amen. I believe that the fire of the Holy Ghost will envelop this building until it'll be seen for all those who drive by. This building will look like it's a flame of fire. I believe that. I expect it to happen. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So if you hear that this place is on fire out here, just say, glory to God, I'm going to get out there and get in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Because I believe that if our eyes were opened even now, we could see the manifest power and glory of God around about and over this place. We are in company with a heavenly host of heaven here tonight. Wherever they ain't, the people of the Lord are gathered together. There is the presence and the angels of the Lord gathered also to praise and rejoice with the people of the Lord. Amen. You're not alone when you praise the Lord. And if you're a child of the King, you're never alone. There's always an angel of the Lord that's there with you. We need to open up our spirits to where we not only believe that, but we realize that God's presence is ever present with us to protect us and care for us. And we need to be able to take our authority over the powers of Satan that rise against us, because that authority is given unto us to take dominion over Satan and put him under feet, so that Jesus can return, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And that is the charge that's given unto us. And we need to start putting that into practice. Amen. Amen. We're trying to put it into practice here, and we're trying to, wherever we go, to tell others that it's time to arise. Arise and be something for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. To be what the Lord can make you. And he can if you will. You know, I was never thought that I would ever be in the place that I'm in. If somebody had told me, I'd have told them that they were it was ridiculous. So whatever place the Lord's got for you that you don't understand or know about yet, when you just be willing to be willing, that's all. Amen. Be willing to be willing. And then the Lord can use us. When we get to the place where we can't be taught, and where we think we already know what to do, well, then you've just shut the Lord out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate his presence here amongst us this evening. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in this camp. I have been looking to the Lord concerning this camp. God got me up yesterday morning at 3 o'clock. And, of course, I've been praying this week concerning the camp. We had went on a three-day fast, called the church on a fast, because we're entering into days that are crucial. But there are days to bring us into the place that God has destined to bring us into. I want to say again, I so appreciate Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. We appreciate them very much. They've been to our place. They came to us in March and with us in the convention there. And I appreciate the order. And I appreciate many things that's been said tonight. Because, folks, listen, God is wanting to get this house in order. And you might say, but Brother Smith, when I was in my room, I had a word. And I just had to go to the room next door to give this prophecy because it couldn't wait. If it's from the Lord, it'll wait till it can get out here to can be judged of the Lord. Because, you see, God is after divine order to get the house in order. Because, brother and sister, you heard what the man of God said a moment ago. That if you seen the place consumed in fire, just come and get in it. If you look into the word of the Lord, the Bible said when the gates and the doors were hung, and then the priest couldn't even stand to minister because of the glory of the Lord. Do you know why? Because the house was finished. You might say, but Brother Smith, I'm not going to do anything till the house is finished. Well, you will never do anything. You see, the disciples were ignorant and unlearned men, but there's one thing that they had to acknowledge, that they had been with Jesus. They learned as they went. But the purpose is to get the house in order. This is why that when we were in camp here, Memorial Day, it went on until after 1 o'clock in the morning. Dealing with the house, getting the things out of the house and getting the house in order that God could get the garbage out, that he could fill it with the groceries. And this is what it's all about today. So you might say, but Brother Smith, we like to do our thing. Well, when there's no king in the land, everyone does his own thing. And then there's havoc. I looked at a man who's a pastor. Said, we have ministered in this new church for a number of times. The church wasn't over 2 or 3, 4 years old, something to that effect. They were even allowing little 7, 12-year-old children giving directive prophecy in the church. I went to the pastor. I had to look up to him like this. I don't know why that I haven't ever been whipped, but so far God's been good to me. I looked up at him like this and I said, but brother, prophecy is not a toy. It's not to play with. Well, the church was under bondage and so we're going to sort of let everybody do his thing now. Sad to say, that church one time was flowing and moving in God. The pastors, you know, had changed. The next thing came. They were doing their own thing. Everybody was going around and there was no order. And children were giving directed prophecy. How many knows that everybody that's filled with the Spirit is supposed to prophesy? But you see, only the hand ministry can give directive word, judgment prophecy. But everyone that is filled with the Spirit gives prophecy, edification, comfort, and exhortation in those three realms. So the next thing, then the church, Brother Glenn, was going into the hands of the receiver. The bank was having to repossess the property. Because why? There was no order. But thank God there were some other churches that stepped in. And they bailed the church out and made up the payments that were behind. And got another pastor. It was only God. Because it wasn't an organization. It was an independent church. And God did bring the church out. And we believe that it's on its way up now. And we thank God for that. But it hadn't been for God moving upon these other churches, they would have went down the drain. Because they were going to do their thing. Brother and sister, I say to you by the Spirit of the Lord tonight, God is a God of order. God told them when they took the baskets of the fishes and the loaves, he said, pick up the fragments that is not left around to litter up. God's a God of order. God left the tomb never to return again. He left it in order. Is this correct? He left it in order. All right. Tonight, I want to deal in the scripture tonight and what God has so dealt with me about. Because I feel that it's needful in every aspect of mine and your life. God has wrought many deliverance in this place here. And we praise the Lord for that. Did you know that that's a part of the kingdom? Listen, folks. I hear people talking about them going to leave, you know, and going to get out. That the Lord, they talk so much about leaving instead of talking about the Lord's return so much. I got news for every one of us. We ain't going nowhere. Did you think God was going to train you to fight the battle and you were going to leave before the battle got here? Come on, folks. God's raising up an army that's going to purify this earth. And brother and sister, we're coming to a place that there will be a feeble one among us, body, soul, or spirit. Brother, we're going to be delivered and set free. And we're going to walk this out in shoe leather in this earth. And that's what God's training us for today. So I would like to look in the seed plot where this all started. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I know that people go around and bragging on the devil, bless his holy name, of everything that he's done. But I got news for him tonight and for that crowd. He only come to bring death, sickness, lies, deceit. But brother, Jesus Christ came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. And I declare to you tonight that the enemy is not going to wear out God's people. It's going to be like a little cat that's been wooled to death. But brother, God's raising up a glorious people that's coming forth in the likeness and the image of God that's going to rule and reign in this earth. That Jesus Christ is the captain of the host. And God is raising up people that's going to do this. So you see, we want to read the purpose of God tonight. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. How many know this is the eternal purpose? Yes. How many know that the purpose has never changed? Amen. I don't care what the Sunday school quarterly says, it's never been changed. God is still going to have a people that's in his likeness and his image. Brother, I want you to know, as our sister was saying, Emmanuel, God with us. Brother, we're putting on Christ day after day, and everything of the opposite is leaving you and I day after day. Brother, we're putting on Christ, and there is a growing Christ that's growing up within us, that everything of the old man is being decreasing day by day. This is why that John the Baptist cried out, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's what's taking place today. But he said, now let us make man in our likeness and our image. You and I read in the book in John chapter 4, verse 23, we see that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, the spirit couldn't take on the image, so then God said, let us make man. There's conferences taking hold in the Godhead. God never inquired of the Son, Brother Glenn, or the Holy Spirit, when he began to make everything else that Adam named. But then when he began to talk to like making man, and then there was a conference going on in the Godhead. And brother and sister, today, this is still the purpose today. God has never changed his plan. Even though that Adam fell, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible said that God had a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Brother and sister, before that God ever said, let there be light, brother, there was the eternal purpose of God. And that's what God is bringing us into today. So God is raising up a ruling man. Now, I know I came up in this rank. It's like a person said to me one time, said, Brother Smith, you don't know nothing but the kingdom, but the move of God. I said, well, I didn't know there was anything else. Because I read that Abraham had already come through seven separations, and I read, and Abram journeyed on going on toward the south. Just because a lot of people got off, God didn't stop there. God is still moving today. And God is still going to bring forth that eternal purpose today. I don't care what you've heard. It's still valid today. Then he said, let us make man in our likeness and our image. And let them have dominion over the fowl of the earth, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I'm talking about a ruling man. As I said a moment ago, I came up through running to the tents, running to a lot of those places to see the man of the power for the hour. But I declare unto you that had its day. Because Moses, you see, he went in and he said, Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may go worship into this mountain and return. But brother and sister, God's not looking for no more Catherine Kuhlmans, and I don't want to let no air out of no balloons tonight. God's not looking for no more men and women of faith and power of the hour. God is looking for a corporate man, that every one of us make this corporate man, the church, the fullness of him that filleth all and all in this earth. Brother, there's not going to be no more big I's and little U's. We're coming into the hand of God, and we're coming into the formation of God, and we're seeing that God's ultimate intention was that God would raise up a people that were going to rule in this earth. And brother, we're coming into the total redemption of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have all the powers over all of the spirits that's coming into God's people. And there's not going to be a feeble one among us, spiritually, physically, financially. Now, I want to tell you something. I've cried out to God for this 21 years past now, on my 22nd year. Help me to bring a balance in the body of Christ. We see the blessing plan. Blessing, 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 blessing. But you see, there's a balance in that. A lot of people think it's a blab it and grab it. But there's more to it than blab it and grabbing it. Come on. Are you with me tonight? So you see, God is calling for a balance. And I've asked God to help me to bring a balance into the body of Christ. And this is what my purpose is tonight. Brother and sister, we are saved. We're being saved, and we're going to be saved. Brother, we're being delivered and set free today. Until there's going to be a place that God's going to show us that there's going to be nothing left that the enemy can touch and lay his hand upon. But you see, don't think that you have arrived there yet. After 21 years, and brother and sister, I know a lot of them told me that I got it all the same night. And they said, you arrived. Because I had been so rotten and no account for anything. I said, God, tonight I'm not looking for any tapering off business. I'm not looking to get just a little bit better. But I'm looking for a 180-degree turn. And I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here tonight until you fix me up. God saved me, filled me with the Spirit, and prophesied, and didn't even know what prophecy was. Sure, they told me that I got it all. But brother, after 21 years later, I wake up all hours of the night crying out to God, oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might know Him. You said, Brother Smith, there's some more to that verse. Oh, yes, there's more to it. The power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable unto His death. But brother and sister, tonight, the cry of your life is this, that you might know Him. Brother was talking about change, quoting the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But brother, you and I, we don't like change. Change is a dirty word. It's like submission is a dirty word. Change. You said, oh yes, Brother Smith, I have accepted change. Well, I'll show you how that I have had the problem. Well, they built a freeway, a loop around our place. And we could go in a shorter way, and we could go and get the railroad tracks, and there's a switch track there, and they would have to wait there hour after hour, you know, to get the trains off from the track. But you see, they built a new way. And a lot of times, I still catch myself coming back to that railroad track. You see, I know that they built a road around to come into my house, and there's no track. But Brother Glenn, sometimes I still find myself that I haven't changed. And brother and sister, I declare unto you today, if you're not willing to change day after day in your life, and your walk in God, and come more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you spend all your money, time in vain, and we are the same of coming to this camp.
Brother Glenn, I came like the wise men. I don't expect to go home the same way that I came down here. I came here to change in God. I came to know God in an ultimate relationship that I've never known up to this point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm talking about us coming into the formation of Christ, into the image of God. Turn with me now into Ezekiel, chapter 1. And let's look at the word of the Lord. Ezekiel, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Brother and sister, do you remember the song? When they came and sat by the same river, and they mourned and they wept when they remembered Zion. And they had their harps hung upon the willow tree, and they couldn't sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. Brother and sister, today God has called you and I to master the environment. God has called you and I to change from one realm of glory into another realm of glory until you and I come into the same image that the Lord Jesus Christ was within this earth. Brother and sister, if you please, God is raising up a corporate company in the earth today that's going to be God manifested in the mortal flesh. Come on, that's the word of God. All right, then let's notice again. God is looking for a people that's going to be the Word made flesh in these earthen vessels of ours. And brother and sister, it's going to take you and I of mastering the environment. Here is Ezekiel, the priest, is sitting down by the river of Kibar, and instead of mowing the blues and having a pity party, the Bible said the heavens were open and he saw visions of God. Brother and sister, I refuse in any circumstance that I encounter, I refuse to sit there with the heavens closed, because if the heavens are closed, by the helping grace of God, I'm going to enter into his presence through worship of coming into his presence and open up the heavens and see visions of God. Now, brother and sister, today, I've seen many cases. Came here a memorial camp. This place was passed out, folks. We had two rows in this other room, the moral day. I've seen cases come in here that was almost impossibility. But brother, I've seen them go here home a different way. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, why? Because change took place. I've seen some of them didn't want no change to start with. But brother, as a minister of this place and of this group here, as they minister to them, they changed their plans. Brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about tonight. All right, now let's notice, in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of Jehoshaphat, captive, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, and the son, we'll skip on down, and I, verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind. How many of you have been caught in a frenzy, in a whirlwind? Don't raise your hand, because that's going to be 100% of us. Come on. How many of you ever been caught in a whirlwind and you lost your sense of direction? Brother, that's exactly what the enemy wants in mind in your life. Because if we lose a sense of direction, then we don't know how to get a hold of the Word of God to bring us up out of the whirlwind. But now let's notice something here. In the midst of this whirlwind, Ezekiel stopped the whirlwind. And brother and sister, this is what we're going to do. We're coming to a place. I've never come to this place in my ministry that I can walk out on my driveway at home and when pressure is all around, and I say, God, I thank you for the pressures, because you know that I need them, and you know that I've got to have them, because you're forming me into your image. I hear people all the time, Brother Glenn, they go around and they think transformation is formation. Just because that you heard about it and you read it in the book, brother, it hasn't been applied to your life yet. I want you to know revelation is not possession. Brother, but I'm talking tonight about transformation. Hallelujah, to God that brings you and I into formation of Christ. And this is exactly what's taking place here. Ezekiel stopped the whirlwind. And then what did he see? We're going to skip on down. He saw these four living creatures. and the feet were straight feet. And believe me, you brother, I'm talking about a people that's not going to know the acts of God, but I'm talking about a people that's going to know the ways of God. And this is what God is bringing us in today. Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew the acts of God. And the acts of God is not enough for you and I. In this end time, we've got to know the ways of God, because Jesus Christ never retraced a step. He never recalled a word. Every word and every step was fruit in due season. And this is where God's bringing you and I in today. You might say, but Brother Smith, that's too far out there. Brother, I have two girls. And when my girls were stretching and kicking and reaching, I never stopped them, because why, they were exercising and they were learning to do things. And brother and sister, God's always going to keep you and I stretching and reaching for that which is ahead of us. Because, brother and sister, we're not flying away. We're not looking for no pie in the sky, but we're looking constantly to put the mud in the devil's eye. Come on, folks. We're going to defeat the purpose of the enemy. Right here in shoe leather in the earth, we're going to defeat the spirits, these creeping things, and sickness and death that's upon God's people. Brother, we're going to bring life to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then let's notice, they got these straight feet. And then the sole of the feet was like the sole of the calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had in the hands of the man under their wings and on their four sides. And they four had the faces of the wings. And their wings were joined one to another. Brother Glenn, this is what we're looking for today. I want you to know, I even had some people that tried to want me to try to stir up some division in the camp. Even last year, Memorial Day when I was here, I said I wasn't brought here to bring division, but I was here to bring a unity together. I'm not for driving no wedge down between any man and woman. Brother, they tried to drive the wedge between the Father and the Son. And brother, we're seeing humanity. Homes is torn up today. The enemy is driving wedge between man and wife. And homes and fathers and sons and daughters and mothers. But brother and sister, today, you and I are to come in to remove that wedge and to bring in the unity. If you'll notice what it says, and they were joined together to one another. Brother, I declare unto you today, as I'm standing here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Glenn is my pastor. He is the authority over me. And when Glenn comes to my place, I am Glenn's pastor. He is the highest authority here. And brother, I am joined to him. I am joined to you, because one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, because one is joined together in unity. And this is why that Brother Glenn was talking about getting the house in order, getting it together. Because why? Then we look on down a little further. That nose and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not. When they went every one straight forward. That sounds like the apostle in the book of Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He begun it and he's going to finish it. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but brother and sister looking straight forward. And no wonder that Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which lie, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And brother and sister, today that's why that there's a cry in my being that's crying out, oh, that I might know him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then let's notice, for as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Do you know what these four faces is? It's the formation of our Christ. We look into the book of Matthew, we see Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. We look into the book of Mark and we see Jesus as a suffering ox, the burden bearer that's carrying the load. Then we look into the book of Luke and we see Jesus as the Son of Man. Oh, he was not born of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of God, John 1 tells us. And then we look in the book of St. John and we see the eagle, which is the born from above, the Son of God. And brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. Can we stop the whirlwind? and see the formation of Christ wrought within mine and your life. And brother, there's no better time than this time. Brother, we must leave here. This must be the first day of mine and your life. This must be the first day of new beginnings in mine and your life. That we're changed and we're transformed by the renewing of our mind and coming into the order that God has called us for.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, I've been a church man the whole time of my ministry. But I declare to you tonight, the church hasn't kept her work up. She hasn't done her job. And I want you to know, Brother Glenn don't need another chapel facing out in this direction out here. He don't need another chapel, even though y'all got a lot of land here. I walked around here and was praying today as I was walking. You don't need another chapel facing the other way. But, brother, you need this chapel in here, the people coming into the formation of Christ. It's not another church we need. We don't need another denomination. Brother, we need the church to rise up to the occasion, to the formation of God. You said, Brother Smith, I love my denomination. Well, I don't want to lose you, but fasten your seatbelts real tight. Denomination, every time, is a tombstone of the last revival. Come on. Come on. It's the tombstone of the last revival. You don't have it unless you come over here where we got it. Come on, let's wall it in. It's ours. It's ours. And they wall it in, and then God breaks out somewhere else with another move of His Spirit. Brother and sister, God's going to be the wall of fire around about Jerusalem, His church. And brother, He's going to be the filler of it as well. Now let's notice these are four faces, the formation of Christ. Now brother and sister, let's notice again a very familiar scripture, Romans 8:29. Let's look at this. It's very common to all of us. To whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is He saying? The same Father. The same Father. Now, brother and sister, this is what God is doing today. He's conforming us into His image. And that's what it's all about. Now, let's notice again. I'll just quote these two verses to you. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. And this is something that's so vital in our lives, that we present our body a living sacrifice. People come to me and they say, Brother Smith, how can I grow up in the Word like that you have? Brother Smith, how can I have faith like you have? Brother and sister, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible said He dealt to us, everyone, a measure of faith. And it's up to you and I whether we develop in that faith or we still have that little measure of faith. Faith will always be tested, but it will never be disappointed. But brother, what did He say? Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You might say, Brother Smith, and you might believe this tonight, that there is three wills. There's a good will, an acceptable will. But you look it up into the Greek context, and brother, there is only one will, and that's for you and I to come forth in the likeness and the image of our God. I know that people preach the good will and acceptable will, but brother, I want you to know, God's not looking for people that's going to just barely make it in by the skin of their teeth, but God's looking for a triumphant people that's going to have a grand entry into this world and tear down the kingdoms of this world. He said in the days seventh angel sounded, kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And brother and sister, that's what you and I are doing today. There is a battleground. But brother and sister, when we come into the formation of Christ, and I thank God for our president. I'm not a Republican and neither am I a Democrat. But I am for a man that God puts in there. And I thank God for our president today. But I want to declare to you today that Brother Reagan, he won't be able to do set this world in order. It's going to take a people that's coming into the formation of Christ that's going to bring rest to this land. Brother and sister, I want you to know we see only two people that was of the old age. Remember, the other age. But they were preserved in God. And the Bible says they wholly followed the Lord. They had another spirit. And what happened to those two people was Caleb and Joshua. They were preserved. God's Spirit preserved them. And brother and sister, God is preserving a people today to be in this generation when our Lord returns to this earth. And What happened to Caleb and Joshua? They both stopped time, and they stopped the aging process. Come on. Caleb said, I'm just as well and able as I was 45 years ago. Stop the aging process. Old Joshua spoke to the sun. He said, sun, stand still. Moon backed up into the valley of Engelon. Brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. Brother, they were the only two above 20 years of age, but they were overcomers. And we'll read into the book and we'll see where that heaven there is for the Abraham negotiated to buy the tomb, Machpelah, to bury his dead. But brother, I want you to know by the time Caleb came onto the scene, it was infested with giants and they had cut the land over because why? The homework hadn't been taken care of. But, oh, Caleb, the Bible said, give me this mountain. I don't care if it's full of giants. I'm just as well to go to war as I was 45 years ago, to go in and to come out. And the Bible said that Caleb brought rest to that land, that ceased from war. And brother and sister, today I'm talking about a people that's coming into the formation of Christ, that's going to bring the Prince of Peace to this earth, that's going to bring peace to mine and your land. Hallelujah. That's getting pretty heavy, isn't it? Hallelujah. But brother and sister, there's nobody that can be a pushover in being this army that God's raising up today. It takes a man or a woman today. They ain't no flimsy. Somebody that's scared to live for God. Brother, this is a free will. Let me tell you something. You say, well, God can do it. He's all sufficient God. I agree to that. But God never created you as a robot either. Brother, he ever created you as a robot. He created you with a free moral. Come on. Come on. To will to or to will not to. Free moral agent. All right. So you see, you said, but Brother Smith, what about Jesus? He was the Son of God. Jesus had to make the choice himself. He said, Father, if it be thy will, you let this cup pass from me. Come on. He could have called a legion of angels, but instead he made the choice. He made the choice. And brother and sister, I do not believe that I am here by accident tonight. I believe that, Brother Glenn, not that this little old peon preacher means anything, but I feel tonight that I'm feeling a divine appointment of the Almighty God. I feel that I've been destined to open up the eyes of understanding of God's people, that the world, the flesh, and the devil has run over. They've been plagued and brought sickness and death and spirits into the body of Christ. But God's raising up a people that's going to clear them out and clean them up. And brother, they're going to walk as they've never had a spirit before. You said that's not so. How about Mary Magdalene? Jesus had cast seven devils out of her. How come some of those holy Joes didn't see Jesus first? Jesus turned to Mary Magdalene and said, don't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father. I haven't ascended to apply the blood to the mercy seat, but you go tell the brethren. Don't touch me. And Jesus had cast seven demons out of that woman. Brother and sister, I declare to you today, God's getting this house ready because he's bringing forth the formation of God within these earthen vessels of mine and yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then let's notice again. Turn with me back into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I was in my room this afternoon waiting on the Lord. God began to deal with me concerning this. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he carried me out in the spirit. Come on. People so carnally minded. And I've seen some people that were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. And I've seen people that were so earthly good there was no heavenly good. But brother and sister, you and I are the seed of Abraham. We are the faith of God. And brother Abraham had an earthly vision and a heavenly vision. He saw the stars. God said, if you can number them, that's how many it's going to be. Look down to the sand upon the seashore. He said, if you can count the grains of sand upon the seashore, that's the earthly realm. Brother, I want you to know there's a twofold vision. Not only are we going to be, people think we're going to fly away. No, sir, brother, we're going to take over. I drove down to Hot Springs this morning. I looked around there and I said, God, I didn't know I had inherited a lot of these things down here. Come on. Hallelujah. The earth is the fullness of our Lord, and brother, I am the Lord. I've made my mind up. I've got nowhere else to go. I've got nothing else to do. Brother and sister, I thank God today that I am the Lord, and I, everything that he has, I am an heir of it. Brother, he
They said we were going to be planted in there and not pull out no more. Brother Glenn was talking about the days coming when we're going in and coming out no more. The gates of that city will always be closed. Hallelujah to God. Because why? God's going to have some sons there that's going to open and close the gates. Hallelujah. They'll be open day and night, but there's going to be some sons standing there opening and closing. Now, they was in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Huh? Have we seen any dry bones? Come on. Had no meat on them? Brother and sister, I seen ministry dealing with dry bones, and when they were telling, shut up and get out of here and leave me alone. Memorial Day camp. I seen those dry bones and they were very dry. But I also saw when the meat was put upon those bones and those hands went into the air and they began to talk in a heavenly language. Brother and sister, I want you to know we're in the midst of a valley of dry bones. But brother and sister, you might say, but oh, that's outside of the world. Brother, there's a lot of dry bones in the church system today. But brother and sister, God's calling the people that's coming into the formation of Christ that's going to put meat upon those bones. Then he noticed that they were very dry. He said unto me, said, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. There was a little boy in our church. Brother Glenn, him, seen him. He was there in convention time. This little fellow was dying with cancer. The doctors sent him home. Said, that's it. Came there. I picked that little fellow up. Just as yellow as a lemon. The little head was just as pointed as it could be. I picked up that little fellow by the altar in our church over on this section over there. And as I began to hold that child before the Lord, I don't know if you understand this or not, but there was so much of the power of God that was released until I was drunk in the spirit, staggering, carrying that child. And you know what? God healed that child. And that child is still in our church today. Come up first Sunday morning and says, Brother Smith, I sure do love you. Sunday morning. And Brother Glenn, he didn't tell me that over 5 or 6 times before he left to go home that day. But I want to tell you something. Why? Because we begin to rebuke death and release life. Amen. Release life. We begin to take authority over that cancer that was taking that life out and begin to bring forth and release the life of God. Brother and sister, we've seen people that they had formulas that they could baptize you into, and they said they baptize you into life. You've got no life except it's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. No Lords of London can write you that policy. It's to the beneficiary, your husband or your spouse. They'll get it, but you won't. But brother, I know one tonight that wants to bring you into the formation of God, that wants to take everything out of you and I that's unlike him. Now, let's notice as he looks on into this valley. And again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones. And he said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, brother and sister, tonight, I declare unto you, this is where it's all about. 7 times dealing with the church age in the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, God said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 7 times he said that. But brother and sister, again, we look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. And it says, I want to show you unto whom a man he is like. Let me just read this to you because I'm afraid that I might skip some. All right, Luke chapter 6, and because I'm going right back where we're at there, but if you want to turn with me, that's fine. 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and I'm going to tell you something. I hear people say, oh, Brother Smith, I'm so glad that I came out. Well, I'm glad that you came out, but that's only halfway. You've got to go in. Come on. You say, but Brother Smith, I heard the word of the Lord. That's only half. He said, heareth and doeth. And doeth. Doeth. I will show to you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on that rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it. Could not shake it. I've been a pastor now for 15 years. And I've had people, brother and sister, these 15 years, They've come to me and they have promised me heaven. They're going to do everything, but Glenn, they gave me the other place. But brother and sister, tonight when I go home from this meeting, they would say, Pastor, you're going to see a changed vessel. Brother, I want you to know you're going to be tried with the very word that you hear. And if you receive a word of prophecy, you're going to be tried with that word. And if you see hear a word to this congregation, you're going to be tried with that word. But brother and sister, tonight it's he that heareth and doeth.
Amen.
Doeth. He's built his house. And brother, what did Abraham look for? A city which had foundation. It wasn't just thrown up. A foundation whose builder and maker is God. Would it shake you too much if I told you that you were the city? I've heard people talking about shaking their feet off on the dreams of God into the golden streets and all of that. Want to walk on streets of gold. Brother and sister, I'll tell you tonight, you are the streets of gold. You are the city of the living God. You are what Abraham was looking for. Abraham's looking down tonight and said, Glenn, let's get it together. I can't be perfect without you. Come on. Am I still in the book? Hebrews 11:40. Still in the book. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. It went house and could not shake it. Yes, sir? And I want to tell you something. I know that Peter told Jesus, I'll go all the way with you. He meant it. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Now, Brother David Coote says it this way. When Peter drawed that sword, he meant to cut off his head. He ducked and just got his ear. But brother, he said, I'll go all the way. He really meant it. But when it came down to the finality of it, he walked afar off. And brother and sister, tonight, I want to be in a position that right in the midst of the circumstance that I'm faced with, that I can still see the formation of Christ. And brother, I'll stop the whirlwind and get a hold of God and see visions of God. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, people perish. The Oriental translation says, where there is no prophecy, people are naked. But I declare to us tonight, he is like a man that built his house and could not shake it. Could not shake it. My brother and sister, I always said that I got in this race late, so I had to run hard and fast. And I want to tell you something. It's not how many that jumps out there and runs for 2 or 3 days. It's he that endures to the end. That's the one. Amen. Brother, I know we see these rabbit hops. Get out there and set the woods on fire, as the old saying goes, for a few weeks or a few months. And the next thing, they feel like they've had an ice storm that's falling on them. Brother and sister, today if the ice storm comes your way, melt it down and walk it for God and see the formation of Christ in it. Brother, just in September, driving a 22-foot motorhome, Winnebago of mine, in Mexico. We have 5 churches and a children's home in Mexico that God's helped us to raise from the ground up. And I was going there and coming over a hill. You that's ever traveled in foreign countries, they tell me that my brother that was playing the piano tonight here has been over in Honduras. I've been over in Honduras ministering there as well. But brother, if you've never driven in a foreign country, you ought to have that treat sometime. I was coming up a hill, and in these foreign countries, the roads don't have no shoulders on. There's no place to go, folks. There's no place. Well, another car came up over the hill. An 18-wheeler on this side was coming. And was coming in passing and was coming head on to me. And the first thing the enemy says, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to ride the storm out in Jesus' name. And brother and sister, I never even shut no kept the pans out of the cabinet. Brother, this is what I'm talking about today. You can get all shook up and go all to pieces if you want to and come into a whirlwind and you can't see God. But brother, there's a place God wants to bring rest to you, that you know who you are and that you've been destined and called and ordained for this purpose, and it can't come to you unless it's already come through the hands of the Father before it ever got to you. Come on. My Father approved it before it ever got to me, because I am his responsibility. My brother tonight was standing out there and his children was running back asking him for money. And so I was telling him, I said, well, I have my father 2 girls. And I said, my girls always told me, said, now, Daddy, I didn't ask to be born. And said, I need $5. And said, I am your responsibility, and I need $5. Daddy, my class ring, I'm going to open Bible in my class ring. Daddy, it's going to be $125. And I know that's a lot of money, but Daddy, I am your responsibility. And brother and sister, tonight, my father is my responsibility. And you'll never know where that I've got $1,000 in my pocket if I ain't got 20 cents. Because it's not my place to tell you. I'll talk to my father. He is my father.
brother, and I want to declare unto you, he knows what I have need of before I ever ask. And all of these people are going around and begging and begging and begging all the time. There's something wrong with their walk with God. I was talking the other day, and I said, Brother Glenn, them don't go around begging nobody for no money. They just pass the basket. And brother, I can't say they do that in a lot of our conventions. They have to pressure them into it. Come on. But I want to, I just said that just in passing. But here, the Lord then said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, brother and sister, today, I declare unto you that we are putting breath. The breath of God. You remember in John chapter 20, verse 21, when Jesus breathed upon the apostles and sent them forth? Do you remember again when God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul? Brother, this is what I'm talking about today. You and I have the breath of God. That's why that he said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God. As I drive down the highways, I see those little sunflowers opening up those bouquets of roses, and they're just nipping up toward the sun and praising the Lord for the sun and the rain. And brother and sister, today this is what God is saying to us, and we're going to cause life to come into them. I don't have a message of death. I have a message of life. Message of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And notice what he said. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, I don't know. I'm just ornery enough. I never was too big, but I'll tell you what. I was always tough enough. I went to a place a few years back, and they were prophesying over these people, and the one that gave bigger offerings, they got a bigger prophecy. And they were selling prophecies. If you give a great big one, it'll last. You could even get the same prophecy for $5. But if the sorriest cost you 20. And you know what I did? I was just dirty enough. When I had my money out to give and he did that, I took it and put it back in my billfold. And I never dropped a penny there. You said, most men, you might as well have done that. Brother and sister, I'm not saying that God can't prophesy over people in the offering. But brother, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. I prophesied as I was commanded. I stopped when the Spirit stopped. I started when the Spirit stopped. I didn't go on and go on and on. I done what the Spirit commanded me to do so. And brother and sister, this is why that you and I today are coming into the formation of Christ. That's why that Jesus, when the enemy came to them, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones that become bread. He could have done it. But brother, he was bound by the Father. He was bound by the Word. And so therefore he wouldn't even show his sonship and defile the Word of God. So therefore he was so submitted to the Father, he never did nothing. Because he said again, I could have even put mouth upon these rocks and they could cry out unto you. He said that. All right, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And brother, you start letting... Not they sure the Lord loveth thee, but you start giving some word, getting down there to where you and I are at, to telling you and I to ship up or ship out. Brother and sister, you're going to start hearing some noises. And you start digging down there and start calling some of these spirits, brother, you're going to start hearing some noises. Come on. I prophesied as I commanded, as I was commanded. And then there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. There was a shaking, and the bones came together. Now, brother and sister, today, I was so thrilled as Irma and Glenn at the table this morning, as they were, we were drinking coffee, and they were sharing with me, James Robertson, who lives in my city, Fort Worth there, how that God is so dealing with this man and bringing him to see. I saw him in the crusade because we have cable TV. I saw him in a crusade, and I saw him as he has developed all the way through. And I also saw him and heard him when he said that you and I were all illiterate and we were from down across the other side of the track. Now, I know I heard him. I didn't hear say, I heard him myself. He quoted right after Dr. Criswell out of Dallas. He said, it's a bunch of jabbers and they're in confusion and they don't know where they're going. He said, most of the time, they're a bunch of illiterate people. But I remembered a man they called the apostle, Paul, Saul of Tarsus. I sure wouldn't mourn him in my church. He bound every one of them up and took them and locked them up. But brother, when God got a hold of him and turned him around, he was a chosen vessel of God. And brother James Robertson, I declare to you that God has turned this man around, a 180-degree turn, and he's crying out for the fullness of God. And they said to him, he said, are you charismatic or are you a holy roller? He said, I'm only doing what God called me to do. He said, I'm only doing what God called me to do and told me to do. But you know what God told him to do? He said, James, get in your study there and you get back into the book. And Janeway and I spent 12 hours a day eating that book. I want to tell you something. Ezekiel said we've eaten the sweet. Come on. Oh, God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But, beloved, I wish above all things that thou must prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Oh, yes. Oh, these things shall you do, and greater these because I go unto the Father. Oh, yes, we've really danced and we've had our parades over that. But, brother and sister, today we've eaten the sweet, but now you're coming down. It's going into the innermost being of ours. It's coming into our digestive tract. And, brother, when God's going in there and pulling these things out, they're bitter sometime. Brother Glenn, we've had the sweet, but now we're getting some of the bitter because we need it to go down in there into our innermost beings. All right, then let's notice again. The bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now notice again, no breath. And James said, the breath without the body is dead, just like faith without works is dead. All right, then let's notice again what he says here again. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, and breathe a breath upon the slain. Now, brother and sister, I was preaching in one of the large denominations that Glenn was talking about this morning. One time, they offered me to be their district evangelist. They offered me a gravy train. They said that we'll pay you by the month. And every bit of the offerings that you get in your revivals, you'll never have to leave the Metroplex area, just Dallas-Fort Worth, and we'll give you the money each month to make a new car payment because we want you to have a brand new car, and then all those offerings you get is just going to be a bonus. And then when you get old and retire, they didn't know that when we got old enough, we're just going to retire again. That's what Ecclesiastes said, there's no discharge from this war. Okay, and so they offered me all of those things, and then when I said, I'm sorry, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And I was preaching one of their camp meetings. And brother, after I said no, how many knows that they never gave me 1 cent offering and I ain't never been back invited again to the camp meeting? That was the end. The end. Why? But that night my wife, she said to me, she says, honey, I hate for you to even have to get up there and minister. It's as dead as this place is. How are you going to minister? I get up here and begin to take the Word of God and begin to cut the thing loose. So before that I could minister and bring forth the Word of God. Because why? They were slain. They were caught up in their denomination. They were caught up in their thing. But brother and sister, today I want you to know when you and I come to programming, we can't do it like they do it. We have to depend upon the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, you and I don't do it, but I got news for them. It can only be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But now notice what he said. And they were slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded. You do know that prophecy is the living word. This is the Logos. But the living word is the word being made flesh, the living word being spoken by the Spirit. All right? And notice what he says. He breathed upon these four winds and said, they were slain. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. And Brother Glenn, they stood up. They stood up and upon their feet, and great, exceeding and great army. Brother and sister, today I declare unto you that Joseph was a fruitful bough. I know that he had dreams and revelation. He got fitted. Come on. He got potted. You say, well, what about Potiphar? He got potted. He got fitted first, and then he got potted. But he was on his way to the throne. Why? Because he had dreams. He had revelation. He saw visions of God. He was an overcomer. Brother, he's one that wore the coat of many colors. Brother and sister, he was the fruit of life. He was the bread of life. And he went on ahead to down there. And brother, he became life unto those brethren. He became life under Egypt bondage down there. And brother and sister, today, you are the bread of life. You are the bread of life in this whole entire area. Look at the people that's come United States that's here. And brother and sister, you are the bread of life. And you're going to have to breathe life upon them. And they're going to stand up and join with you. And they're going to be an exceeding great army. And next time they come here still needing deliverance, they'll be helping you deliver. Hallelujah to God. Brother Glenn, it's not all of our lives that we must have need of deliverance. We must get delivered and set free that we can deliver groaning and travailing humanity. I haven't gained anything. If you have to deliver me and then come back again, you have to deliver me again. Deliver me again. Come on, that's just like Revelation is talking about the untimely figs. And like King says, talking about the ground, the trees having miscarriage, the animals having miscarriage. This fine say we're ever learning, you're not coming into the knowledge of God. Brother and sister, it's time for you and I to grow up. Grow up in God. Come into this formation of God, that we'll see the Christ manifested, and that we will see God in this earth in human vessels. Now I want you to turn with me back into the book of Jeremiah. And I want us to look in the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. All right? Now let's notice here in the fourth verse of the first chapter. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Come on. This is where we're going to let Glenn do it and Irma do it. They can do it better. I'm just going to sit here with hush mouth. And I'm not going to do anything, because I'm just a child. Did you know what? History says, you read this very first chapter here, Jeremiah was only 8 years of age. He said, I'm a child. God said to him, said, don't you say you're a child. But notice what he says here. Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And he said, and the Lord said, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Brother and sister, I was talking to a brother today. That some of the other brothers said he was a builder. He was the head honcho in the building here. A brother, I know that they didn't go out here and own this ground and just get a call down here at Hot Springs and say, bring me 50 yards of concrete and just pour it out here on the ground. Brother, there had to be a destructive work before there had to be a constructive work. And brother and sister, today this is what I'm talking about tonight. There has to be a destructive work done in mine and your life, because God's not going to build upon wood, hay, and stubble, because it won't stand the test. He's going to build upon the precious stones, hallelujah, to God, which is He Himself. And brother and sister, what did he say? He said, now, give you power to root out, to pull down. I've seen people try to support their wall, support their little tiny walls, their denomination. I'm going to mash the repeat button. Denomination is the tombstone of the last revival. Come on. Hallelujah. You said, Brother Smith, I don't like you for that. Brother, there can be only one head. And Jesus Christ, He's the head of the church. He is the head. He is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. All right? Now, to pull down. Oh, Brother Smith, I don't want nothing pulled down in my life. Well, you're not going to be built upon then. Come on. God's going to do this pulling down, this rooting up, this destructive work, before He'll do this constructive work in my your life. Because He's not going to build upon the sand, because the wind that's coming upon the land will shake it. And, brother, God didn't call no deserters in this army. No one, you can't go AWOL in this army. Brother, God wants those when He can call for them that they'll be. I said, I'm here, Lord. Send me. Send me. I'm here, Lord. Your servant here. I'm ready. Send me. All right? Then let's notice that to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, brother and sister, this is what God is doing today. He's building upon the foundation. What is the foundation, Brother Smith? Build upon the foundation, the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He's building upon the apostles' doctrine. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone in that. And so, brother and sister, today, this is what God is building upon. You say, but Brother Smith, God's not adding unto me. Well, you check what that you're trying to get God to add to. Brother, because He's not going to build upon that which is going to fall. And if you please, all of Babylon is coming down anyway. All of the walls that man has set up and divided the body, they're coming down. And God is going to have a fruitful bough, a Joseph company that's going to run over the walls, that's going to be the bread of life. And that's why that they could prophesy to this slain army, and that they could stand up and live, because why? They had the breath of God in them. But brother and sister, you and I have a job to do. There's a growing and travailing creation out there that's just waiting. As J.B. Phillips' translation says, they're standing on tiptoes just waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. And brother, that's what they're waiting on today. They're waiting to be delivered. All right? Now, I want us to go again into the book of Hosea. chapter 6. And let's look here at the word. Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And brother and sister, time is running out. We have already approached that second day, that second 1,000 years. Psalms 94 says, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. And Peter says, 1,000 years as a day, Old and New Testament. We have already approached that 2,000 years or that 2 days. And time, he said, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we will live in his sight. Brother Amos said, 3 and 3 said, how can two walk together except they agree? And brother, we're being raised up to sit together with the Lord today. And I declare unto you tonight, the Bible tells you and I, he joined unto the Lord is one spirit, not two. And he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are one. And brother and sister, this is where God is bringing us into today. Now you said, Brother Smith, are you talking? Yes, I'm talking about oneness. That we get to the end of Bill Smith and there'll only be one in here and that will be God. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the doctrine of the oneness. And if you're believing that, I still don't disagree with you. I'm not throwing those stones tonight. I want to love you. I want to see us together. All right? But in the third day, he's going to raise us up and we're going to live in his sight. Then I want you to turn with me again over into the book of Genesis chapter 43. And I want to go into Genesis chapter 32. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24. And let's notice something here. Here is the time when Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau. You see, Jacob had four names. He had the name that his father gave him was Jacob. Swindler, treacherous, conniver. He bought the name that he had, Esau, from his brother. He traded a pot of porridge for it. Okay, that was his second name. And then God gave him a name here that we're going to read about. His name was Israel. Then we see in Isaiah that God gave him another name, was Jeshurun, which means upright, straightened out. And brother and sister, I want you to know something tonight. Isaac was the promised son. I see that the ladies, and my wife does that occasionally when she has time, embroidery work. Taking the thread and interwoven by the Spirit. And Jacob had an inward work that was worked within him to straighten him out. And brother, that's what's taking place in you and I today. There is an inward work by the Holy Spirit that's working within us today. And Jacob was left alone. That's the best place that I know of. But now notice something. And Jacob was left alone. How many knows that we preachers, we do things besides drive Cadillacs and eat chicken legs? Come on. Come on. They say, well, all you preachers, you just drive nice cars, wear nice clothes, and eat chicken all the time. A gospel bird. But how many knows that a minister that's walking with God lives a lonely life right with his own family that who he loves so much? They live a lonely life. Brother, many times, sitting in that seat in those vehicles of ours, I build me up. Many times, I'll write things down in the palm of my hand. There's no paper there. That God has spoke to me, so I won't forget it. That God's given me a word to build upon, to minister on the place that I'm going to. You see, folks, we got an open line at all times into the presence of the eternal God. And so this is what I'm talking about now. Jacob was left alone. And notice what he said. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Lord, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Notice something here. I see people that think that the Holy Spirit is a blessing plan. God, I've got 3 minutes to give you. You think you can bless me in 3 minutes? Because that's all the time I can give it to you. I'm in a hurry. God, can you bless me in a hurry? Jacob prevailed. I'm not turning you loose, Lord, until you bless me. The day's breaking. It's changing days. And I know that you might think that my wife, she says, I know, honey, you don't watch your watch, but said, I'm going to start waving the calendar because it's going to change days on you. But I've got something. I was talking to Brother Glenn that I wanted to share with you. But brother, here is a day changing, day breaking. He said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. Brother and sister, this is what God's looking for, a people that's got a made up mind. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Paul said, I am purposed in my heart. Abraham said, I am persuaded. And brother and sister, tonight I am persuaded that everything that he has promised, he is able to perform. He's not a blessing plan. But brother, I want you to know, I learned a long time ago, we spent many hours in praying and begging God and begging. Brother, we're not beggars. We're possessors of all things. But I come into the presence of God many times and I say, God, I don't need anything, but I just want to love you. I want to tell you how much I love you today. And I want you to know God poured forth heaven down on me. I'm not a beggar. I'm possessor of all things. Hallelujah. But notice what he says. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He didn't stutter around either. That swindler, trickery, treachery. Don't you try to pull no holy Joe on me. We all came from the same mold. Come on. We'll all boil over. Water boils at 212 degrees. But you just press us long enough and we'll boil over, folks. He said, oh, Brother Smith, I'm so holy, I don't do that. But notice what he said, thy name is Jacob. But notice what he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. Now, brother and sister, I was sharing with Brother Glenn and Irma. Some people came down in East Texas and they were bad-mouthing Glenn and Irma in this place here. And they were from this area. If you're here tonight, God bless you and you need help. Come on. I'll tell it just like it is. They were bad-mouthing. And I said, wait, are you from Hot Springs? I said, I know Glenn and Irma down. That's how it started. They said, yeah. They said, oh, I know them. Said, I went to church down there and said, oh, those people said they're doing this and they're doing that and the other and they're doing all of these kind of things. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I had been down there two times. I have seen hopeless case come there and they left in a different manner. And I said, I can't talk against results. Come on, Glenn, that's the best thing that's going. It's not he that says, but he that doeth. And I said, I can't talk about that because I've seen results. But brother, it wasn't no time until that same individual, everybody was wrong and they were the only duck on the pond. It didn't take me long to find them and put them in the pot where they belonged. But brother and sister, this is what I'm saying. We can't keep people from talking about us. But brother, I've been time and time again, I've said, I don't care what man says. But brother, that old cliche has got to be trashed out because my and your domain is with mankind. And we've got to have power with God and power with man. The Bible said Jesus in Mark said that Jesus grew in stature at the age of 12 years old, conferring with the doctors and the lawyers. And he was gone for 3 days and they went back and inquired of him and they found him in the temple there. But Mary said, why did you do these things? He said, don't you know it must be about my Father's business? And the Bible said that Mary always pondered those things in her heart. But then we look and Jesus grew in stature. He had power with God and power with man. But notice something. When Jacob lost gloriously, repeat, when Jacob lost gloriously, he became Israel. Brother and sister, tonight, when you and I lose gloriously in God, we're going to be changed into a prince with God, that we've got power with God and power with mankind. Now, let's notice. Thou hast power with God and with man, and thou hast prevailed. Now, brother and sister, tonight, this is where God is bringing us into. But you see, without the formation of Christ in our life, we're going to be back at step one. In the whirlwind, losing sense of direction. Have you ever lost your train of thought? Sense of direction? Brother and sister, that's the word the enemy wants to get you. He don't want you to get a hold of the word and say it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He doesn't want you to get that. But he wants you in the whirlwind. Now, I want to turn to one more scripture. Turn with me into Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in judgment. Who you think those princes are? That's the sons. That is the kingdom. It's going to rule in judgment. Then let's notice a little further here what he says again. And a man, not an individual, but Ephesians 4 and 13. Till we come unto that perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, that would be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but we speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in him, in the head, in all things. Man shall be a hiding place from the wind. Now, brother and sister, I can remember when the people was a hiding place for me in the wind. When I was in turmoil and on my way to a devil's hell, I can remember that. But brother and sister, today there's a world out here that God wants you to be a hiding place from the wind, because, listen, it's coming. All right? But notice something, a covert from the tempest. And brother and sister, I don't care how many told you that you were going to fly away. I got news for you. If you bought a ticket for the bus stop, the bus ain't coming. It's not coming. Folks, we're going to overcome. To him that overcome, will I give him power over the nations. Revelations 2:26. All right? Now, to be a covert in the time of the tempest. Now, brother, there's already a tempest in the land, but it's going to intensify. It's going to get worse all the time. You said, Brother Smith, when is it going to get better? When you and I release Jesus from the Father. When we release him. But he's bound there by the word. There's a groaning and travailing creation that's just waiting to be delivered. I don't care if they went on drugs, alcohol, they're running for and looking for someone to deliver them and to set them free. To be that rock in the weary land. To be that cover in the time of this tempest. To be that wall in the time of the wind. Could we stand together? And when God became the greatest, Jacob became Israel. And he gloriously lost. Amen. God bless you, Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.